G'day. Hello. Have we got sound? Can you guys hear me? Yeah? Okay, all good. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to suck on lozenges as I do this, because otherwise, you guys are going to hear as we go through. I'm on the upside of the flu now, so I'm almost there. Right, what do we got? Okay. Now, you wondered why you guys all were handed a can of V, because you came to a session called Enterprise Information Management. And I knew that we would have to try and keep you guys awake. Not being particularly creative, I couldn't come up with a better title than that. But I think it is pretty good, and it sums up exactly what it is that we're talking about as we go through today. How many of you, this is your first tech ed that you've been to? Well, not that many. I'm quite surprised. And what are you guys finding of it so far? You really enjoy it? Yeah? Okay. For those of you that have seen me present before, you know that if you sit there and let me just talk at you, you're not going to get anything out of it. I.e., you're not going to get any of the little prizes I've got, any of the sugar I have to keep you running, or the Grand Master Prize. So we do have a number of prizes. So what I'm trying to do is I want you guys to get involved. Because if you get involved, then I'll be able to give you the information you want and that you need. If you don't get involved, well, you're just going to sit there and have me preaching to you for the next hour, 60-odd minutes. Sometimes I run over as well. Okay. So who am I? My name's Rob Hawthorne, and I am a principal consultant for a company called Theta. I previously was the director of a company called Prophecy, which specialised in business intelligence solutions in the Microsoft stack, based in Wellington. Theta acquired Prophecy in December because they saw that we were a progressive little company and that we knew what we were talking about, and that Theta also realises that BI is a way that they need to focus on and grow their capability. They have a very strong team based here in Auckland, but they had no presence in Wellington, and we were very like-minded organisations. So it was a good idea to come together and start to do business. So that's where we've come from. And what we're going to talk about today is enterprise information management and the solutions that Microsoft have to make that up. So if we look at it, this is a typical business intelligence project. I'm just going to click through this a little bit. We've got our business user who comes up with a brilliant idea. I've got all these source systems out there, and if I get the data in the right formats and the right ways, I can start having these pretty charts and graphs and dashboards. I might even have these cubes. And what I need is I need a developer to build me a data warehouse. So I'm going to get my developer to do that, and I'm going to get one more developer to do what's known as some ETL, or some extract, transform, and load. And they're going to pull the data out of those source systems. They're going to apply some logic to it, put it into a data warehouse. We're going to whack it into a cube, and we're going to have some reports. And then we're going to get that out to all our other users, and we're going to have one version of the truth. Everyone heard this before? Everyone heard me tell them that this is going to happen before? Right. Unfortunately, that's not the case. As more and more business users start to use the system, we begin to find holes in it. We begin to find areas where the data is not so great after all. There's a few gaps, or the data's a bit dirty. And unfortunately, as more and more people come on, we find more and more issues. So what we do is we add more and more developers, because adding developers always fixes the problem, right? Because they're cheap and they're easy. But unfortunately, we keep getting to a point where basically our data warehouse becomes a data dumping ground. It gets out of control. There's no processes around for managing it. We lose the business context that's associated with the business rules that we have inside our ETL process. So, there's some studies out there, some research, and it says that 70% of the cost of building our data warehouses is in this process, doing the ETL. 70%. You know, that's a significant value, and why is that? You know, I'm going to hazard a guess.
Oh, they have to recruit the
tech in rather than that. No, that's true. Yeah, recruiting techies is expensive. Okay. Now, I'm trying not to hit anybody like Clive did last year. Okay. It's hard work analysing the data. Right. Why is it hard work analysing the data?
Lots of data sources,
different data sources, and data is? Data is crap, right? Complexities, that's right. You guys are going to strip me out. I just found out today when I got these that there's now a hokey pokey flavoured peanut slab. Well, effectively a peanut slab. I don't know what else you'd call it. Kind of new. Blew my mind. So data in traditional systems is bad. And a lot of it is because there's a lot of legacy data. You know, you have systems which have been upgraded and upgraded and upgraded, and ERPs are classics of this, right? An ERP that you might have put in 2000 has been upgraded 17 times during that time to keep it up to date, but nobody's gone back and reviewed the data. And so the data is ugly, and it's difficult to deal with, and it has holes in it and gaps in it. And it is that bad, right? This was a survey done by Information Week, and this is a barrier to why their enterprise BI solutions do not work. And the biggest barrier is the data quality problems. You guys believe that? Yeah? Who's experienced it? Pretty much everyone, right? Because it is hard to conform data, it is hard to match it. But it's not just BI that has this issue. Okay? In most information management solutions, we have the same problem. Accessing relevant, up-to-date data is hard, and integrating data from multiple source systems, extract, transform, and load, as we've said, is difficult, and cleansing or at least deduping the data is difficult as well. So this is not an uncommon problem. So what Microsoft has done in SQL Server 2012 is they have introduced data quality services. Now, you can think of data quality services as like a big spell checker. That's really what it is. The product team probably don't like to hear it described as a big spell checker, but that's really what it is. Okay? And it allows us to ensure that data fits conformed rules that we define. Master data services allows us to have a known quantity, a known golden record associated with data. It tracks version histories and changes to the data, and it allows us to make sure that that most up-to-date record is always the one that's on the top. And then we've got integration services for pushing through the data from the end-to-end solution. And what we're going to do is we're going to see how these all hang together. We're going to see it from a business user's perspective as well as from SSIS's perspective. Boy, it's lucky I didn't have a beer. That would have been impossible to say. Right. Now, here we go. I'm going to switch into the demo. Dun, dun, dun. Did I pray to the gods hard enough? Oh, that's interesting. You guys can see all that? Okay, that's good. The reason I said that's interesting, because when I switched the screens, where the keyboard is right in front of this one, and that's switched to the slides, and the demo's over here, so I've got to kind of look odd, on an odd angle. Okay, so this here is data quality services, but what we're going to have a look at first is we're going to have a look at a typical business user report. So our business user has asked for a product list by geography or by state to be created. So we have got our products along the top, and we have got our geographies or our states along the bottom there, and then we have the number of licenses that have been sold in each of those areas. Okay? What's the first thing that you can see that's wrong with this report? Yes. Well, A, it's hard to read, yeah. I'm not a report designer, okay? Visualization's not my thing. The problem is we've got a lot of duplicates here. Very similar names. They are slightly different products, but there are spelling issues and inconsistencies inside them. We also have geographies which are duplicated. So CA is California, CALF is California, and California is California. So we've got different ways of representing the data. Who's seen this happen in their BI solutions? Yeah, exactly. How much code do you have to put in to deal with this? Right? Lots of likes, fuzzy lookups, group buys. So this is not an uncommon issue, okay? So what Microsoft has done is introduced data quality services Oh, sorry, I'll just carry on through the spreadsheet so you can see what else is in here. So what we have here is a listing of sales, the actual product and the number of licenses, a list of the product family. This is our known good list from the product family. A list of our customers, and you know, some sales data stuff there. Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to define ourselves a new knowledge base. And that new knowledge base allows us to build up the rules that we want associated to apply to the data. So we're going to call this one here something flashlight products. And we're going to add a domain. And a domain is really just a field. It's a field that allows us to define what the rules are that's associated with the data that we get. So this one here, we're going to base it on the product. And the data type is a string, but we can also have dates and decimals and integers and all those things. We can change the language so that if we are getting data in a different language, that we can deal with that. So, you know, there's quite a few there. And we can enable a spell checker on it. Right. Oh, this doesn't render quite so nicely in the screen. But we have a number of different tabs that are available to us. Reference data, which we're going to go and touch on shortly, and hopefully that part of the demo will work. It's always the bit that's going to be tricky. The rules that are associated with the domain, and the allowed values. Now, every domain, when we first create them, has an allowed value of null. So for us, we're not going to allow any nulls. We don't want any nulls. And we're also going to have a known list of values that we want to have. Whoops, excuse me, click on the wrong thing. And we're going to import some values from Excel. So if we look at our customer sales one, what we're going to do is we're going to import our product family. And what this should give us is a nice list of our known good named products that we have inside our solution. This has come from our business users, and this is what we're putting in here. Now, you'll see that we've got some things here with some squiggly lines underneath them. And the reason why is that we turned on the spell checker, and that's saying, well, I don't know what something win small biz serve is. So what we're going to do is type in a new value. Oops, sorry. Mark that as invalid. And when we see this value, we are going to change that to hey, how about that? I typed it without making a mistake while you guys were watching. Woohoo! Now, the question is, I think there's one more down here. Yes, there is. Can I do it twice? Dun, dun, dun. Pressure's on now. Two for two. Yay! Right, so now we have a known list of good values for our products. So basically what we do now is we hit finish, and we're going to publish this up to the server. Once it's published, that means that it will now be available for use. So we're now going to have a new data quality project, and we're going to call this products, for the lack of a better word. And we're going to base that on our products knowledge base. I'm just going to click Next, and we're going to load our Excel file with our customer sales in it, and we're going to have a look at our sales data, and we're going to have a look at the product data, the product field and the sales data, and we're going to compare that to our domain of product, okay? Now, when we run this, that file gets uploaded to the DQS server, and the data is then pushed into SQL Server and has the analysis done on it. Wow, that was quick. That was way faster than on my machine. Okay. We get a few results back that give us an indication of how long things have taken to execute, how many records have been dealt with, etc., as well as the accuracy of our data. And we're seeing here, not looking quite so good. So which kind of indicates that our rules are not as good as they should be. So let's go to the next tab and have a look and sort of see what's going on. So the suggested tab shows us the ones that it could automatically map to. And I'll just try and make this a little bit bigger for you. This looks really good on my laptop screen. So So you can see here that we're going to swap all these ones, and that's looking pretty good, to be quite honest. We're going to roll all those products up into the Windows Web Server 2008 category. But we've got all of these new ones here. And that's come about because what's in our sales list is not exactly what's in our known good product list. Okay? And so the match can't happen. We're also seeing here that there's lots of abbreviations used. Who's seen this on the Microsoft licensing? This is actually based on Microsoft licensing data, by the way, guys. Okay? So this is the way that their SKU data works. So when you get the when you look at your Microsoft licensing, you'll see Win Small Business Prem 2008 English S. So what we're going to do is we are going to use a new feature inside DQS, which will allow us to use term-based references. And like any good cooking show, we're going to create ourselves a new knowledge base. And we're going to base this on a file that we've exported once before, just so you guys don't have to see me type it again and again. And we'll now import this in. So what DQS allows us to do is as we build these domain rules up, we can export these out and send them off to other people and have them validated and et cetera. Right, there's a new one in here called license quantity. And the reason that we've got this in here is just to sort of show you some of the rules you can apply to the data. So this one here says that because license quantity is an integer value, that it must be greater than zero. Okay, we're going to ignore it basically if it's not. But our interesting one is product. So if we look at our domain values, we still have all our domain values in here, as we did before, but we've got these new term-based relations in here now. So what the term-based relations do is, as the data comes in, this is processed first, and it will swap bus for business, and data center for data center, and English it will swap for an empty string. So this is processed first before we then try and apply the business rules to the data itself, so we're getting much more consistency with it. So hit finish, publish that up, create ourselves a new data quality project, and what are we going to call this one? P3, that'll do. And we're going to base that on P2. Don't you love my naming convention? And our data source is going to be our Excel file. It kind of helps if I talk to myself as I go through this. Make sure that I know what I'm doing, right? Product and product. And then we're just going to run it through the engine. So once again, all the records are being uploaded into DQS, and the rules are now being applied and validated against it. So we have completed. And we can see now that our accuracy is way higher. We've got 13% suggested or new. Hit next. And these are all the suggested ones. So they're going from Windows Server Data Center 2008 Win32 English through to Data Center. Okay, so we've effectively swapped the values out and given it something it can map to. We have no more new records, which is always a good sign. So all of our issues have been resolved between either suggested or corrected. Do you guys know what the difference is between suggested or corrected? Comments can be up for one of these things. He's got his hand up first, mate. Go, back. Good point. Okay, fantastic. I'll get Lewis or Eduardo to give you one of these. Thanks, buddy. I'm not going to throw those at you because I'll go everywhere, okay? So it's all to do with this confidence. And that's a setting that we can set at a global level, right? So we can say, based on if it's 80% or more, then we're just going to automatically correct that row. If it's less than that, we're going to put that into a suggested column where it has to be reviewed and dealt with by a business user. So now we're just going to go ahead and approve all of those because, you know, we're great business users. And everything then gets moved into our corrected column. Oops, didn't want to show you that just yet. Or did I? Did I? Right, so this next tab here actually allows us to then export the data back out again. Okay, so we can now go and export this data out to SQL Server, a CSV file, or Excel. And because most of our business users love Excel, where are they going to put it to? Okay, they're going to export the data out to Excel. But as IT pros or SSIS developers, we don't care about the data. We care about those rules that the business users have now created and captured for us. So whether they export it out to Excel or not doesn't matter. That knowledge base that they have created and saved there is what we're going to utilize inside SSIS. Right. So that will take care of all of our nasty product names that we've got at the top here. Okay, our product names will now be consolidated and looking nice and pretty. And I've got an example sheet here which will show that to you of what that looks like. Okay, so that's what we're going to end up with. What we now need to deal with is our address issue. Okay, because those states are not correct. Right, I've talked for long enough. What are you guys going to say? Anybody got anything to say? Okay, go.
Are there commercial files in commercial knowledge bases that have like your regions and stuff?
Oh, he's going to steal my thunder. Incoming. So last year, Clive and I were presenting. And Clive was doing the coding, sitting up on stage. Most of you know Clive? A few of you know Clive. He's doing the coding, and I was standing there doing the presentation, and as people would answer questions, we'd throw chocolates out to them. And it was normally my job to throw the chocolates out. Unfortunately, Clive was up there, and I was busy talking about something, so he decided he'd throw the chocolate out, and he did it in a very limp-wristed, geek sort of style way. Threw it like this, and there was a lady with her head down, and it went, smacked her right in the head. So the secret is, listen to me, or you're going to get hit by chocolates. Okay, right, just make sure that we're on the right page. Okay. Bum, bum, bum. Right. My cheat sheets, eh? Except you can never read your writing afterwards. That's the biggest problem. So, as Lucian just suggested, we can now deal with this in a slightly different manner. We're still going to create ourselves a knowledge base. But what we're going to do now is we're going to use services that are provided to us as part of the Azure data market to go and validate this data. Now, this is a bit where it could all go horribly wrong, okay? So, fingers crossed, ding, ding, ding. So we have this wonderful knowledge base that I've created before. And on this knowledge base, we have a slightly larger set of information that we're validating for. So we've got things in there like city and phone and product and state and all those sorts of things. Okay, and what we are validating is our customer data here. Because it's our customer data that has the awful way that states are represented. It's got a mixture of codes as well as names, as well as totally invalid values in here. Things like there's a number 30 down here. Okay. So in this, just before we move on to the Azure data market, in here what we've got is a composite domain, and this composite domain is made up of the four subdomains which form an address for a person. Now the reason we want to do that is we don't want to just validate their address, we want to validate that the entire address is correct. We want to say that this city belongs in this state. We want to make sure that the full part of the address is correct, not just the individual attributes of the address. And if we have a look at our address, we have this reference data on here. Well, we do, or we don't. Ding, ding, ding. Maybe it's on full address. Come on. No? Okay, it's gone. We're going to add it. Well, we shall add our reference data in. When we find out where it's going to work. Oh. It's lost the data key. It's a shame. Right, hang on. So now you guys will see how the keys work. So what you do is you go off and you create yourselves a data market account, and that'll give you a key. And as you pay for services inside the data market, you then just take that key and put it into DQS, and be able to utilize those services available to you. This may not work because it might want a proxy server to be able to go out and talk, and I did wonder about this earlier when we're in these rooms. That'd be a real shame if that doesn't work. Sorry? You would have to create a service to be able to do that through the Azure Data Market. Or you'd be able to put your own business rules inside DQS to do it. Does that make sense? Yes. Yeah, oh, so this is taking the data and validating it against rules inside the cloud. Okay. So if you've already got a known good list of address data, you wouldn't need to go and do that, would you? Because your data's already a good set. No, that's true. Did our IT guys disappear? Oh, bugger. They ran off on us. That's not good. Okay. So the problem is because we haven't got a proxy server listed, we can't get out to the internet. I'll just validate that that is true, that we still have internet access. So we're missing the flashiest part of the demo. Come on, Mr. Microsoft. Why does it do that? Help! I need IT help. Is there anyone in here that can do it? I'm determined. Come on. So how about those All Blacks, eh? Wow. Okay. One more daring thing to try. I know we shouldn't be doing this during the middle of a demo. It's never a good thing, is it? Yeah, it's connected to the external. Oh well, they've shot me down. Don't get my speaker shirt now. They were aiming to get my speaker shirt if it all went smoothly, so now I'll be able to go, nah, sorry Dave, didn't happen. Okay, so anyway, if we go off to the Azure Data Market, not only though will it validate the address for us, but it will also extend the data that we get back. So what that will allow us to do is to get back lats and longs associated with that address. And with some providers, we'll even get altitude, so we can then start putting the data onto a map. So that's pretty cool, right? And it's not just for address information. There's also providers up there for phone numbers, which will give you who owns the phone number, you know, what telco owns the phone number, whether the name matches the phone number, all those sorts of things as well. Oh, I know why now. Oops. We're all running on the same IP network, both internal and external. These rooms are different from the rooms in there. Right. So our customer data, if it had gone through, luckily we have this master list, would then go off and be validated, and we'd end up with a whole pile of nice clean addresses. So we would have things that were in the old sheet, like 100 legends for the cracker, to become Legends Way. Yeah, it is in here somewhere. There it is. Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple of those addresses in there that will go off and fix and update for us and bring back. See, presenters that have been around the block a little bit always have a backup plan, right? Not that I'm that easy. Okay. Right. So, what about SSIS? This is all great being able to do this from a business perspective and capturing these business rules, but how are we going to use this from SSIS to actually be able to go off and validate this data? So, with inside SSIS, we don't need that one. We can close that one up. We can. We've got a pretty simple little package here that will allow us to go off and validate the data against our source systems and do a little bit of profiling to find out how good the data really is. So if we have a look at this data flow task, we basically read in data from our sales table, we run it through DQS, and based on the type that it comes back as, we do a split, and we figure out how many rows of good data we're getting, corrected data we're getting, and bad data we're getting. With the bad data, we then just go off and dump that into a logging table. Okay? So the little DQS component here is really quite simple. and we just point it at our DQS server. I'll just test that, make sure it's working. Whew, that's all good. And basically we just map our incoming values to our expected values for the DQS package that we're talking about, the DQS knowledge base that we're talking about. So if we now just execute that, we'll be able to see how many rows that we had, which were good rows, versus how many rows that we had, which were... Oh, wow, you really can't see it on these screens. Oh, we didn't like the name of the package, I bet you. Here we go, see, that's why. So now our business users have gone off and done all the hard work and applied the rules to the data for us, and now we've basically gone off and separated. We've done some profiling on the data to find out how good it is from those source systems and how much work would be required to either A, go back and fix the data in the source systems, or B, provide an alternative mechanism. What's our chances of getting the data fixed in the source system? Why, you guys are so full of confidence. Oops, I just double switched that, didn't I? So, oops, I'll skip over that little bit. So what we're just going to have a quick look at now is the data curation process. Just go back here. So the responsibility of DQS is to cleanse and match the data. So that's the whole point, right? So it's got another task that we're going to have a look at very shortly, which is about data matching and deduping some of the data. But the initial part that we've just looked at is now is about cleansing the data. Then inside MDS, the users are going to be able to manage the data. They're going to be able to take care of the issues that are associated with it. And then you've got SSIS to integrate and automate the entire solution. Okay? So as you saw, we had some knowledge discovery around the data. We had a look at the data itself. We found out there were some gaps in it and there were some issues with it associated with it. We created some domains which were relevant to that data. We then cleansed that data. And now what we're going to do is we're going to create a matching, well, very shortly, we're going to create a matching policy. Oh, they're all hanging around the door. They really want my shirt that badly. Right. Okay. Time for some questions. What do we got? Go.
Which edition of SQL Server do you need for?
Ooh. Ooh. Anyone got the answer for that question? Which edition of SQL Server do you need for data quality services?
BI.
BI and?
Standard.
Ooh, I don't know about standard. Is it in standard? No, I don't think it's in standard. Definitely BI and enterprise here. Who gave me BI? Oh, that was terrible. Okay, what are the questions we got? So audience participation, guys.
Last week's one. I guess Pajima, because it's still wrong in the source system, and you're creating mechanisms, sure, to not cook or clean it, but like make what's wrong right for a purpose.
Yes.
Can you get a reference going backwards to know where the dirt is in the source system?
Yes. Okay, so the entire thing is auditable and traceable, so you know where the data has come from, right?
Yeah.
In this scenario, we're using spreadsheets, which is kind of sucky, but it's real life. We always have to deal with them. Not everybody has the flexibility to go back and modify their source systems, though. There's a lot of people out there who are stuck with still IBM mainframes and things like that, and they cannot go back and correct the data in those solutions, or it's very difficult to go back and cleanse that data. So we have to put mechanisms in the middle to deal with it. Well, no, what we're actually doing is we're bringing IT and business together. This is a big problem for BI. Like any of the BI guys in here will really struggle with that. Because as BI guys, we want to go and build you the greatest stuff. And as soon as we show it to you, you go, nah, the data's shit. You know, like it might be pretty reports and graphs and charts and flashing bells and whistles and could even make you a cup of coffee. But if the data's wrong, people don't want to know about it because they lose interest, they lose confidence. And as soon as they've lost confidence, that's where the problem is. And it's because as IT, we don't understand the business rules that are needed to be applied to the data. So this is putting the power back in the hands of the business users to apply the rules and the constructs around it, but also giving us as IT the mechanism to be able to utilise that in a well-governed and mannered way. So it's kind of bridging that gap that we've always had. But definitely worth an M&M. These are all the way from the States, by the way. I carried those all the way from Las Vegas just for you guys. Yes.
Once you've gone through the exercise, would there be a way to trace those records which you corrected going into the data warehouse? And if you were able to update the original data source, to script that back and correct it in the sources?
Okay. So it depends whether you're doing it through the UI or you're doing it through SSOs. So if we say the UI, well, you're kind of putting it into a table and then you've got whatever comes into that table, right? So, you know, and that's probably not the best way to really do it to make it programmatic and repeatable. But if you're putting it into SSAs, all you'll do is put a split there to say bad records go here or corrected records go here, or we flag those records slightly differently, just like we did with the counts as they came out, right? So we just got a count of good records, corrected records, bad records, those sorts of things. So there's lots of ways of skinning that cat. You can put them into separate tables if you want to. You can put them in the same table, flag them with different attributes, you know, however it is that you makes sense to you to manage it with inside your business and your processes. Does that sort of answer your question? Yeah? Right. Oh, by the way, there's exam vouchers up here too. Anna from Microsoft was very kind and gave us exam vouchers, so. Who's keen on doing an exam? Excellent. Okay, we have to think of some good questions. Those who aren't keen on doing an exam need to come up with some good questions. Oh, the host can see it, the guest can't. Yeah. I've got Dwayne on his knees down here praying. It's going to go right, please. Okay, what other questions we got, guys?
Wouldn't it be great to be able to use this DQMS stuff to get the data right at source when you're entering it?
Wow, that would be awesome. That would be nirvana. No, that's just the local intranet. Come on. Go to the internet. I agree with you. The problem with source systems is that probably not so much in more modern applications, you know, like modern versions of CRMs and you know, those sorts of things, or ERPs or financial systems all have validations on fields, and they're all customizable, so you can put the validations on them. Even things like SharePoint have the ability to put validations on fields and make sure people are entering the right values. But it's a lot of the older systems or Excel spreadsheets or externally transferred files from you know, other companies that you cannot rely on, and they're very difficult to change. Like if you're getting a feed from an external company, and before that file comes to you, and I have had this happen, believe me, with one of our customers, a file that we're paying for to be sent to us, somebody is manipulating that before it is sent to us. Supposedly extracted automatically, but it's being manipulated on the way and then sent to us just to make it look right. And guess what happens? The ETL falls over just about every single time. Sorry, just 2 seconds. I think it's because they're on the same. Our way around it, Dwayne. It's just these rooms are different from in that room, eh? Yeah, shame. Never mind. Something to know for next time. Okay, sorry. Yes, so you see when I imported that file?
So the business will know what happened.
Yeah, so that knowledge base is saved inside DQS, and that's accessible for users who've been given access to it to be able to go and view and look at the rules. You don't call that user friendly. Oh. Well, you can give them access to that. You can give your trusted power users access to the data quality client. That's where Microsoft's coming from with it. Okay, and you've got to remember that it's kind of a step into this world. So, pretty much, is there any Microsoft people in the room? No? Good. I can say this because I was one. Pretty much with the first release products, they get it about 60 or 80% or about 80% right in functionality, but it's not got the look and feel and the cleanliness and the polishness. And then in version 2, they fix all the cleanliness and the polish and the bugs that was in version 1, and by version 3 you actually get a product that's really nice. Okay, look at SSIS. We're sort of third version SSIS now and it's really beginning to work. You've got undo. Who would have thought? Sorry, a little bit sarcastic. Sorry, Matt, go.
What's the data market in New Zealand like for those?
Ah, okay. So when I set this up last night, I had to create a US-based live one to use the free address validation because I was too cheap to pay the $70 a month for the full version. But my New Zealand-based live ID would get me access to the top suite that they offer. So there are data market providers for us here in New Zealand, including address validations, the same one that we were using inside the demo.
Cool. So it isn't just all US states and phone numbers and...
Correct, yeah. Cool. Wait, hang on, I've got to catch up. I'm getting behind here. USB key, incoming. Well, they don't keep the data. They keep the rules that apply to the data.
Something like your address cleansing, whatever country you're looking at, there's new houses being built all the time, new postcodes, new whatever.
Yes.
So, do you have any policy rules about how current they have to keep their validation
rules? So, if you look at most of the, we can log in after the session, and I can show you what their screens look like. If you look at their T's and C's that they have on the site when you subscribe to it, it will give you some of that information that you're looking for. Okay, a lot of the, like in New Zealand, when we're doing address validation, we do it against the New Zealand Post PATH files. So it's up to New Zealand Post to keep those up to date. And if New Zealand Post aren't doing their job, then it's kind of hard for us to validate the data against them. There are other options like going out to LINS and checking that, but LINS don't really expose everything properly. And I know Lee's had all sorts of difficulties with it. So. Okay, so that reference data service allows you to get a foot up and get moving quite quickly. We're doing very address validation is very hard to do. Ask anybody who's done it, like Lee's done it. Lee, put your hand up, mate, so they know who you are. There you go. So Lee's done it, and stripping those addresses apart and making sure that you're breaking them apart correctly is very, very tricky to do. Because people don't put the right values in the right fields and all sorts of nasty things. Okay. The knowledge base will build up over time as well. As you saw with us, we started off with a very simple knowledge base, just looking at one domain of data product, and then we added in license quantity, and then we added in address and phone number and bits and pieces like that. And you will see those knowledge bases begin to build over time. And then you can start to utilize them from your different source systems as you come through. So, master data services. Master data services, what we go through with the process for this is that we create entities based on our data, and these entities are very much like a database. So if you've got devs telling you that it's going to take them 3 weeks to create a data model, just say, I'll just install MDS and we'll take care of it ourselves. Eh? Watch, it's really simple to do. You set your attributes, and then we can also apply deduplication or data matching on it to remove the duplicates we've got. So let's have a look at MDS. Actually, just before I do switch on that, have I answered you guys' questions so far on DQS? Sorry?
Can you do any data profiling in DQS?
You do the data profiling in SSIS using DQS knowledge bases. Yeah, just, so that's really the best way of doing it. Sorry, T6. Oh, woohoo, I got one. Sorry.
I'm just curious about the knowledge bases.
Yes.
How are they version controlled? You know, people make changes to them over time as your processes run and change. How do you know which versions?
Yeah, well, one thing that I've found, and I've struggled with a little bit, and this is what I'm saying, it's a bit like a version one product, is that even deleting an existing knowledge base seems to be relatively difficult. So I think the versioning is that you just have it. Right. Oh, sorry, question where? Sorry, mate. I didn't show you this. We'll wait for it to start up. But basically, DQS is just a series of databases, three of them, sitting inside here. And now, you've got to remember, whenever you bypass Microsoft's published method of accessing something, you are no longer supported, okay? So what we'll see here is these knowledge bases. What it does is it creates a series of tables in here that relate to each knowledge base. Okay? So it just moves through the schema. And if you actually go into, there's a main table called knowledge base. Oops, next one down. It gives you the ID associated with each of the names that you've got. See, so I've got pre-demo, and that's its ID. So if we scroll down here and look for 1001, those are the tables that are associated with pre-demo. Sorry, so that, where was that coming from?
You can delete a knowledge base through here.
You could. Oh, good luck to you if you do. I'm sure there is a way of deleting it. I just haven't found it yet, that's all. Not obvious through the UI. Okay, so Master Data Services, where did that run off to? MDS, there we go. Okay, so Master Data Services, this is version 2. So we might actually be getting a bit more rounded out in features that we want. Who knows when Master Data Services was first released?
R2.
R2, yeah. Who gave us R2? They're way down the back down there. Whoa. That might be a bit of a throw. Okay, we're out of peanut slabs. Whoa. Headshot. You guys are never going to come back to one of my sessions ever again, eh? Wait till I start throwing these out.
Hey, this is why you've got the small one.
Yeah. Yeah, if it was one of the big rooms, there's no way it would go across the other side. So this is in version 2 now. So now what we've got is, the same web-driven interface, but we've got integration with Excel instead, okay, which means a lot more for our business users for marking data up and changing data and doing all those good things. Than it does through a web interface that's difficult and clunky for them to use. Because business users love Excel, okay? And it is a key strength of the MS platform. What I'm interested in is, how's that going to work with Office 365 when your data's on site and you've got Excel being published through 365? That's going to be interesting. Anyone got any ideas? No? Not yet. So, basically what we do inside Master Data Services is we create a model, and that model then has our entities applied to it and our attributes and our rules that are associated inside that data set so that our users can then modify and update data and make changes as they go through. I'll just get a drink, or else that coughing will start. So if we now go back into Excel and we have a look at our nice clean data set that we've got. We've got this one here with our addresses of PARs, and it's all looking nice and good. Except what we can do now with Master Data Services, is there's our little add-in, is now go off and create ourselves an entity. So we're first of all going to connect to our server. Oh, lost our connection. Come back here. Right, look at that. Beautiful. Thing of beauty. So now we can go and create ourselves an entity. We're just going to sneak over and create another one first, because I didn't do it earlier, based on state. And we're going to go and say, create the entity on that. We're going to use our model called customer sales. There's its version number. We're going to call this states. Oops, statties. Oh, it is whatever it's going to be. Now, the one thing that we do have to provide is a unique identifier, right? So, sorry, I didn't select all the data. Try that again. The one thing we do have to provide is a unique identifier, and that's just like having a primary key inside our tables. In this case, we're going to use state because it's the short code that we've got on there. And then we have one which has got a name. Now, if I didn't have a unique identifier, MDS will assign one for me automatically. Okay. So we go OK, and this is now going to go us and create us a state entity. I'll just take a second or two. There we go. Okay. Doesn't look any different, really, does it? Except it swapped the columns around and made them into a table and that sort of thing. It tells us that it's connected to MDS at the top here. But anyway, we are going to now go off and go to our cleansed customers and do the same thing with them. Ooh, did I let somebody leave? Ooh. That's the other thing, is I normally embarrass people when they leave. Because it keeps the rest of you here, you see, no matter how boring I get. People don't like to be called out. Right. We'll use our customer ID, and we'll use our name for creating this. Now, when this will go off and actually create our customer entity. And there's our customer entity now being created over here inside our Master Data Explorer. And we can see that we've got a bit of data going on here. We've got these details coming through showing the status of the record and whether it's been validated, etc. So we can show that we can turn that status off. We should be able to turn that status off. Oh, it's details, is it? Yeah, there we go. Cool. And I'm just going to hide that for a second. Wow, that column's gone really wide. Oops. Numlock. There you go. So the other thing we can do now is we can link our entities together. So if we go and have a look at the attribute properties associated with the state, we can now say that it is a constrained list that's domain-based, and it's based on states. And what this ends up doing is this now says that anything that's inside that column must conform to that list of data that we had on the outside. So this is forcing the data validation as data is being entered into this. MDS gives our business users a lot of power. They can add and edit rows in here. When I first started looking at MDS, I struggled with, well, why would you use it? Right? What's the point? Really, all I'll do is suck the data into a table inside SQL, and then we'll just use that data inside SQL and push that through. The problem with that is then I become the gatekeeper. Every time that they want to add new rows to it, they've got to provide me a new Excel spreadsheet in a particular format, give me the data, I've got to reload it for them, push it through. If they want to add new columns, that's a real pain because I've got to go in and modify the SSIS package to have new columns added in, etc. This puts the power back into the user's hands so they can now stage the data into MDS themselves. So they have a defined list of sets of data that they can use, you know, Alaska and blah, 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 and there's no more of those dirty regions or states that we had in our original data set. So we've pushed it through the cloud, had it validated and updated, and now we're making sure that our data is being updated correctly from now going forwards. The other thing that we can do is we can look at using matching data. Now, matching data allows us to actually deduplicate the data set that we've currently got. So we are going to have duplicate records in our data set, and those duplicate records could be based on name or address or whatever it might be that's causing the problem. The great thing about that matched data, it uses exactly the same data matching capability, as what's used inside our knowledge base. So in here we can define a matching policy which I thought I'd already done, but obviously not. Address, city. So we can define a matching policy to say that these are the rules that are associated with it. So if the address is, if the combination of the address is 100% similar, then that's got to be the same record, even if the name is different. Okay? And it's the same with the phone number. If the phone number is the same, we are assuming that that's the same person or the same customer. These rules will require a little bit of tweaking, and those weightings that you put on the particular fields within inside it will give you an indication of how good your matching becomes. But what we can do is that rule that we have is it's actually exposed inside MDS via DQS to then go off and validate that data. So there's another one that's where it's all in there running. So we'll just take that. And that will now go off and try and deduplicate the data for us. So it takes the entire data set, loads it up. Have you guys tried to do this before? Not in these tools, but have you tried to deduplicate data sets before? Okay. What sort of techniques did you use for doing it? You basically got to iterate through every row and compare it to every other row, right? Yeah, it's a real nasty, nasty process, and it's heavy on a side of server. So what we see here is that what has come back is that the deduplicating process has given us a cluster, and it says that this record is like this record based on our rules, and our rules were the address, which we can see in... come here. Okay? So in our source system, this is the customer ID. We've got two of these records inside our source system. So we can't go ahead and just delete one of them, because what if there's transactional records associated with it? End up with a whole pile of orphaned records, or we're still a whole pile of data that's just gone. Okay? So what this allows us to do now is to keep this cluster ID associated with inside this data, and we can then publish this back inside MDS. Guys, got any idea how we're going to make that data change? Create an entity? No, we don't need to create an entity. What's Excel great at? Copy and paste. Watch this. So, we've got these hungry coyotes here. And then I think there's another one down here. Now, this one has not been matched to these two because this one has a full address and these two don't. So all we say is that this one is now grouped with those ones, and that these ones, can I copy it from that one? Have the same address. So no changes are made to the data at this point. That's why it's showing up as orange. For me to make this change, I just publish the data back up inside MDS, give it a little bit of a reason why I'm doing this. And now that data is now written back to MDS in a conformed way. Okay? So that is now updated with those address details, and we know we've got a good source of information inside there. Just to prove it to you. Dun, dun, dun. Create ourselves a new sheet. Show the Explorer. Check our model. And we're going to have a look at our customers. And this is going to go and pull the data out of MDS and put it back on site here for us. And we should find our Hungry Coyote restaurants as 100 Charles Park Road. Hey! Just saved you guys hours. You should be excited. Well, I got a woohoo. That's good enough. Where's that? Woo! Oh, not too bad. Didn't kill anyone. And guess what? We can now use this with SSIS as well. So not only do we create these entities and these rules like this with MDS, but we can also expose those to SSIS to utilize those components as well. So let's just have a quick snizzy at that. How are we going for time? We're supposed to be done by now, aren't we? Yeah. See what happens when you guys let me talk too much? Once again, we basically pull the data in a little data flow. We read it from our source table. We add ourselves some MDS columns, okay? There's a couple of particular columns that MDS wants, which is a batch tag and an import type. We load that into a staging table, and then we fire an MDS stored procedure to tell MDS that there's a new data set waiting there for it to pick it up and load it inside the solution. I can run that if you want me to run it, or we can just move on. Let's move on. Unless anyone's screaming to say, hey, please, show me. Right. So it gives us the ability for quick and easy model creation inside Excel, which is fantastic for our business users. They can go off and they can create these models based on their known data sources that they've got, or we can create them on their behalf and give them the ability to modify that data. It allows us to create good domains of data that they can manage and look after. We can use deduplication functionality to get rid of a lot of those duplicate records, or at least tag those duplicate records so that we know what to do with them when we get them into the BI solution. We know that those two with the same cluster ID belong together, so therefore we just pick the best bits that we want out of them and push them through into BI. So, enterprise information management is a concept, and the entire concept is to bring business and IT together. Just try and break down these divides that we have between us in the way that we work on our business rules and the way that we model our data. Think of the power that MDS and DQS bring to our business users as the same power that Power Pivot and Power View brings to them. They can model stuff up as they want to see it, and then they can provide it back to us and we can make it happen for them on a programmatic and a well-managed inside a governance framework. The whole idea of where Microsoft is moving to is to make this managed democracy. Oh, cripes. Someone going to say it for me? Yay, there we go. You all get chocolates. I've got three left. I have to start throwing CDs soon. Right. The whole idea of that is to make it so that it is in a managed framework, but it is still in the context and power of business users to be able to manage it and look after it. We want to reduce IT involvement. Okay, we really don't want to be involved in doing data cleansing. That's not where the fun is, right? The idea for us is to design scalable architectures that are going to be able to deliver true business value, give them the ability to make business decisions and head off into the future. We don't be worried about, you know, is Betty B the same as Betty Bill? That's not our bag. Then that's, you know, we're expensive resources to be able to do those sorts of things. The other good part is that this is not an all or nothing solution. You don't have to use the entire lot. You can pick the bits that you want. You can just use SSIS for pushing data around if you want, or you can just use DQS for building up a knowledge base and some rules and bits and pieces, or you can just use MDS for giving a managed framework for some of those ugly data sets that you currently have sitting out there at the moment. I guarantee every single one of you have got data sitting inside Excel that's supposedly managed. Right? Even if it's sitting inside SharePoint, it's supposedly managed. Okay, some related content. There's some couple of other, oh, that didn't lay out very nicely. A couple of other breakout sessions. So tomorrow there's Peter Myers is doing an intro to MDS and DQS. Try and say those a few times fast. Catch me up tomorrow night and see if I can do it. Maybe I should hold back the mouse until we've got that. Yeah. And also, go and have a look at the business intelligence semantic model that Nick Draper is doing on Friday. I think it's Friday. Because that'll help you to actually understand where Microsoft's heading around this, around the semantic model. There's some hands-on labs. Go and do the ones on integration services. And there's some certifications. So basically, if you are not Microsoft business intelligence certified, I suggest you go and get started with this exam. The exams have just been refreshed for SQL Server 2012, so there's a whole pile of them coming out soon. That's my avatar on Xbox Live, so if you see that guy, that's me. His name's Router, depending on where you come from. my email address is at the top there in our nice Theta Red, and our Twitter address, etc., is there as well if you want to get hold of me. But other than that, oh, some resources. Oh, yes, the SQL Server 2012 eval copies. I have got a few more up here, but Anna's got a bunch of them, so if you guys want them, just come and let me know, and we'll make sure they happen, and we'll get them for you. And I think, what else we got? Oh, that's right, your eval forms. Now, there's no excuse for anything under a 9, okay? Bam! Can't count. I'm from Wellington, man, you have to excuse me, right? We don't have that many fingers down there. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, so yeah, make sure you guys fill out your eval forms because they're really helpful, okay? Because it gives us feedback and it tells us where the things that we do right and the things we do wrong. And also, you get to win some cool gifts. Not the Best Buy gift card, though. I don't know how that managed to end up on my slide. That's what happens when you're changing slides at 1 a.m. Typical. Oh, well. But that's basically about it. Oh, hang on. No, we've got these questions for these exam vouchers. Right. Who came up with the questions for the non-exam takers? Sorry, the non-exam takers, what questions did you come up with? I don't know if that qualifies for one. Come on, we must have a question for these guys that want exam vouchers. Anything? Go. Yeah.
Is that expected or,
You will always expect to have some data that never lines up properly. You know, you're always going to have gaps in it, so there's always going to be bits of that. You know, the rules will require refining again and again and again as the data sets get wider and wider and wider. So when you start this process, start with a small data set, apply some rules to it, expand the data set, adjust your rules. Expand your data set, adjust your rules. Make it very iterative. Don't try and define all your rules up front, or you're going to kill yourself, right? It's just way too hard to do. But that's worth... The process on how to do it is definitely worth M&M. Everybody, can you take that to that chappy, mate? Put your hand up, mate, so he can find you. Come on, any more questions, guys? I've still got a USB key, I've still got a mouse, I've still got two exam vouchers. Who wants an exam voucher? Okay, an exam voucher. Right, what's your question?
My question is, when you say the rules and developing rules and everything, who is actually owning those rules?
Ah. Right, so this will come down to your governance that you have, right? So you should have identified owners of particular data assets inside your organisation. So you will have a finance manager and he will be the owner of the finance system. He won't be the one defining the rules, but he'll be the one who makes sure that that job happens. Okay? He will delegate people inside his group that can do that role. Okay? But yeah, all right, cool. I've got an exam voucher for you. Come see me. Next, who wants a second exam voucher? I've got two. Come on, someone else must want to sit an exam. You want to sit an exam? Oh, you guys are wusses, come on. Yeah, go.
That's the advantage of using MBS for data migration and cleansing as well.
Yes.
Which can be used. However, dealing with relational database, we have a lot of challenges in
Yes.
Due to wrong structure, wrong data types, and all that comes in.
Yes. So not only do you get data into MDS, but you can get data out of MDS as well. And I do apologise, I didn't show you guys that. Basically, you create a view inside the management interface, which is effectively a T-SQL view inside the database, and that exposes the data for you to then use with SSIS or whatever mechanism you want to take that out and push it somewhere else. Okay? So you can use MDS as a pipe or a funnel or a staging area for the data to be dealt with. I strongly suggest you do not try and put your transactional data through MDS. It's not what it's for, okay? It is for the nouns of your business, your customers, your contracts, your dates, those sorts of things, your vehicles, your assets, Okay, do not put transactions through it. Yes.
In the data warehouse, knowing what that represents as one customer, does NDS manage that for you, that you have one customer that actually came from these three, or is that managed as part of the ETL process to get the data?
Okay. Yeah, so that's known as a conformed dimension inside the Kimball methodology, right? So that's, I've pulled data from here, 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 and here, and I picked the best bits and put it in here. What you can do in MDS is to bring those objects in, put them into the same customer entity, and mark them as duplicates, okay? And if you bring the source attribute through with them, you'll know the source systems they've come from, and then at least they're together, and when you then bring those into the data warehouse, you can say, okay, I want the address from this one because it comes from our finance system where we send invoices, and I want the names from this one because it comes from our CRM system, and I want the email address from this one because it comes from our Exchange server, okay? You can, yeah, that's right, you can manage that component inside MDS, and you can hand that over to the business users to manage that rather than having to try and manage that ourselves as developers. If you can't fix the data in the source system, yes. The first and best option is to fix the data in the source system. Okay. If you can achieve that, then you've got nirvana. Okay. You're not always going to get there, and you'll get a lot of resistance, especially in solutions which have been in place for a long time. People are very nervous about touching their ERPs. Don't blame them. It's kind of the heart of their business, but you know they're very nervous about touching those sorts of things. Yes. Yeah, and that's one of the things I didn't show you, unfortunately, was as part of the SSIS package, when we got the rows that were different between in the DQS solution, there's a little report that I wrote that actually shows us the number of good rows and bad rows and those sorts of things, and we can do exactly the same thing on the other end of MDS inside SSIS, right? Correct. To be really honest, I haven't explored the statistical side of it. I've just looked at the raw rule-based on it. But from what the reading that I've done so far is that it is some pretty basic statistical algorithms that they have inside there. I don't know where it's heading to or what they're going to do, whether they're going to bring any of the data mining algorithms in at some stage as well, because that would be kind of cool. But I don't know what the impact would be and whether that's actually going to happen or not. There are some very good resources up on Microsoft.com/SQL. If you just go Microsoft.com/SQL, if you basically do that for any of the major category products, you'll find them. And there's a whole pile there around DQS, and there's a whole pile there around MDS and how to get started with it, etc. Oh, also, sorry guys, there's an image which is the one that I'm using called the SQL Server 2012 image or something. It's massive. It's 21 gigs to download. Takes forever, but you can whack that up into Hyper-V, and it's got everything in it, everything you need to get started, and there's also a whole pile of what they call demo scripts. Did that thing go offline? Yeah, I think it has. There's a whole pile of demo scripts inside there as well, so that you can actually get started in different scenarios and be able to run through in doing PowerView and DQS and all sorts of bits and pieces, okay? So there's lots of IP already available out on the net to just sort of just download the image, have a play, and in an environment like that, you're not going to do any harm. And it's got SharePoint and Active Directory and SQL Server and all that installed, ready to go. Just don't plug it into your corporate network because it runs DHCP. Right. Okay, a few more little gifts. What do we got? Yes. So as those rules that we showed you on the license quantity, we define regular expression rules on strings. So yeah, same thing. That's definitely worth an M&M one. Right, the mouse. Okay, I need a decent question now. Go, buddy.
Can you integrate MVS on other platforms, for example, SharePoint,
At the moment, DQS only supports SQL Server and Excel, so you would have to pull the data into SQL Server for that. For MDS, it's using Excel to manipulate the data that's stored inside SQL Server. So you have to get the data into MDS, okay? And that's normally done through either Excel or SSIS, and you push it in. So yeah, you'd have to write a component to do it. But there we go, buddy. Get one of those latest and greatest flash mouses. Now, I've got one more of these. Who wants to sit an exam? Come on, somebody must want to sit an exam. Did he put his hand up? Yeah? He put his hand up. Right, he gets one whether he wants to or not. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay, welcome.
What we observed over there is that the UI for the MDS, on the Internet Explorer, do we have a sort of a client interface?
Yeah, the client interface is Excel now. Yeah, the client interface that we used to have in MDS is gone.
Okay.
Yeah, so we don't have that web-based client access interface anymore. Any more questions? Yeah?
For the cleansing, can you use, if you put internal WCS services that can provide data, can you use those as an Azure data source, or does it have to be?
At the moment, they have to be exposed through the Azure data market. So if you can expose those internal ones through a private, and I don't know about this, Lee, do you know about this, mate? Whether you can expose private components inside the Azure data market, I don't know. So, right, there you go. Get an eval version. I've got three more left. Just come up and grab them, guys. I won't hold you up any longer. You want one? There you go, mate.